So, the reason why I ask it, a little bit, so you've got, I don't think the disciples knew what was going on. So, picture the scene. You're the disciples, you've been following Jesus for 3 years, and he says, right guys, I want you to go into this city, and there's a room laid out for you, we're going to have a meal together, it's probably the Passover, so we're all going to go in, and we're going to have the meal together in that, you'll all find the room there. I don't think the disciples knew what was going on, for the simple reason that they showed up. Because if you are ever invited to a Last Supper, you're not going. Excuse me, would you like to come to the Last Supper, please? No, because I want to live. If someone have asked you to a last meal, you're not quite sure whose last meal that's going to be. So anyway, I'm not quite sure the disciples fully grasped what was going on here. But they got that there was something exciting and important about it. Jesus has just entered into Jerusalem. The city is alive and buzzing with all kinds of people from all over the world, all the different smells and noise and nationalities crammed into Jerusalem for Passover time. And Jesus has just come into Jerusalem on a donkey, which is like saying, I am the new king. So they knew something's going to happen. Judas is sitting there, having already decided to betray Jesus. They sit around this meal. Don't know if it looks anything like this. Probably had a bit more food on it. And they kind of lie around it, talking. Now these kind of meals, then, they took time throughout the meal to explain what each different thing meant. So they take the bitter herbs and they talk about the bitterness of slavery. And they take the wine and they talk about how it means in the new covenant. So Jesus has got his mates around for dinner. And they're all sitting around this meal. And for all of the different food that they eat, there's stories around it to explain what it means. So the disciples aren't quite sure what's going on, but they get a sense that this stuff is important. Jesus takes the bread and he holds it up and he says, this bread, this is my body. And if you're the disciple and you're there around this table and Jesus, as he explains the different foods, pulls out this and he said, this bread is my body. Your mind probably goes back to feeding of the 5,000. Cynthia, if we could have the next one. See, when Jesus pulls out the one in the middle and says, this bread is my body, then the disciples immediately start thinking about what Jesus had said when he fed the 5,000. Let me read it to you. This is what Jesus said in John 6 after he'd fed the 5,000. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, but they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. So you're the disciples and you're sitting around this meal when it's Passover time and all the city's alive with all the exciting things. And Jesus pulls out the bread and said, this is my body. And you think back to when Jesus had 5,000 people on a hill and fed them all. And then afterwards says, this bread is my flesh. You need to eat it. This bread is my body. You know when people like to think Jesus is a really nice moral teacher? You know, like, he wheeled out some nice things. You know, like, turn the other cheek and forgive your neighbour. See, the trouble with that is Jesus not only said those things, he also said some pretty shocking things. Jesus fed 5,000 people. And at that point, he became fairly popular, as anyone who can feed 5,000 people with a bit of bread and some fish inevitably becomes. It's the rabbi I kind of want to follow. So if you read the passage in John 6, Jesus feeds all these people and then they suddenly want to make him king because here's a guy who can make food out of nothing. And Jesus turns to all of these people and says, if you want to live forever, you need to eat my flesh. Those are the words he uses. He actually says, this is my bread. But if you want the living bread, you need to eat my flesh and you need to drink my blood. Can you imagine if someone actually said that to you? If you want to live forever, you need to eat my flesh. Can you imagine how disgusted you would be? If you read in John 6 what happens, all of these people who wanted to make Jesus king, it says half of them drifted away because they couldn't accept the teaching. Jesus says some pretty strange things. But now, when it's Passover, in this city full of all the noise and the disciples around this meal, and Jesus pulls out this and says, "This is my bread. This is my body. This is my flesh." Then they start to understand it. Now, I appreciate that most of my sermons do not linger long in the mind. You know what I mean? Like, if I said to you, what did I preach about 2 months ago? Could anyone remember? No, it's okay. Because for me, there's something about a good sermon or a good talk or a good time chatting that, okay, you might not remember it, but at the time it fed me. I think that sermons are a little bit like meals, personally, which is, I can't remember all of them. Over the last year, I could remember a couple. They were the ones that really stood out to me. I can't remember all of them, but they did me good at the time. And I tell you what, if I hadn't had them, I'd feel much worse for them now. That's how I view sermons. That's how I view opening up God's word and thinking about it and talking about it to other people. I see, yeah, I might not remember it all, but I know they did me good. There were a few that stood out to me, and if I hadn't had them, I'd feel much worse for it now. And so the disciples hear Jesus say, this bread is my body. And they remember what he did for those 5,000 people. And they start to understand that when Jesus says, eat this bread, take on my body, he didn't literally mean grab his flesh and eat it. He said, eat of what I am giving you. They realise that when they eat of Jesus, they're taking his teaching into themselves. It's not just something that they understand, but when he says, eat of my body, eat of this bread, there's something about Jesus that you take and it becomes part of who you are. So when he was saying, feed the hungry, when he was saying, turn the other cheek, when he was saying, love thy neighbour, it wasn't just something that you remembered and put in your head. No, this was teaching that you took into yourself. It made you a new person. It changed you, because that's what meals do. When Jesus says, eat this bread, it's my body. It's Jesus' story. We take it into ourselves. It's Jesus' teaching. It's his words. We become more like him. Then Jesus takes the cup. He says, this is my blood, which symbolises a new covenant. You're all sitting around here at the table, and Jesus is explaining what all the different things mean, and he says, here's the bread, this is my body. And you start thinking about all the teachings that Jesus has done and how you can take it into your body. And then he says, this is my blood, and this is for a new covenant. And you start thinking again about what Jesus has said in John 6. I'll read it to you. It said, for my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So the one who feeds on me will live because of me. So they're seeing this bread and this blood and they understand what he was talking about in John 6. He wasn't saying literally drink my blood. He was saying take this cup that symbolises a new covenant. You can find loads of symbolism in this. This is a meal we took last week. We had communion last week. We had some of the bread, we had some of the wine. Lots of symbolism. I asked you at the start, what would be your last meal? Anyone say bread and wine? No, none of you are that holy. No, it's not. Neither would I. I'd have chicken wings, or maybe ribs. But there's something about the bread and the wine that Jesus uses deliberately, because it symbolises something. What do you think of when you think of bread? Sandwiches. When do you eat bread? It's when you just need filling up. When I was a kid, I came in from school, 3:30 every day. What was the first thing I said to my mum? I'm hungry. What did my mum always say to me? Go eat a bit of bread. Why? Because it's easy, it fills you up. It might be boring, but it fills you up. There is nothing special about bread, but it fills you up. It does you good. However, I knew when we had special guests coming round, because there was wine on the table. There's something about bread that fills you up. It's boring. It's the mundane. It's the day to day. I eat bread every day of my life, in one form or another. It fills me up. If I'm hungry, I'll go. It's easy. It fills me up. It gets me through. But I tell you what, wine is for the special occasions. If there was wine on the table as a kid, I knew we had good guests coming round. Jesus picks the bread and the wine to symbolise himself. Why? Because Jesus is in the mundane. Jesus is in the day-to-day. When it is boring, when there's nothing special going on, when you're going to work and coming home, you just need something to fill you up. Jesus is in that. And Jesus is in the spectacular and the special and the wonderful. Jesus is the good guest who comes round. I said to you, what have you been thankful for this last week? Some of you will have picked the amazing moments, the special times, the times that you really thought God came through in an amazing way. Some of you might have picked the day today. God was with me. In the times that I felt lonely, I felt God's presence there. There's bread and there's wine. Jesus says, eat this bread, eat my flesh, take it. It's boring, it's every day because I'm with you every single day. And drink this cup because it symbolises the new covenant. It symbolises the blood. It symbolises wine which is there for the very best occasions. Whether you think your life is full of very boring stuff, mundane, day to day, you can know Jesus is with you in that. And you can also know that Jesus is with you in the spectacular, in the good, in the joy, in the party. I've mentioned that meals like this had symbolism. You've got to understand that all of Jesus' disciples were Jewish, so they kind of got what this meal was about. They all kind of sit around this table, there's different foods coming out, there's lamb, there's bitter herbs, there's stuff that symbolises the Exodus. And they're explaining what all of these different things mean while they eat it. Now, for those of you who know your Bibles, when the Israelites escaped from Egypt, unsurprisingly, they forgot to take any food with them. Because if you are fleeing your life, you're fleeing for your life from slavery, you don't pack a wok. So, the Jewish people find themselves in the desert and they go hungry. And they start grumbling out to Moses and say, why have you taken us from Egypt? Although we were slaves, at least they fed us. What are we going to eat? So Moses goes to God and says, why are all your people grumbling? They're your problem now, so you can deal with it. God says, okay. And so, in the desert, they start raining down manna. So God rains down this manna. We can have the next one, please, Cynthia. Now, manna from heaven probably looked a little bit like this. That's what they reckon anyway. It looked like some kind of seeds. And every morning it would rain down from heaven. And there was enough. Enough for the day. So when Jesus says, take this bread, it's my body. Not only are they thinking about the stuff Jesus said in John 6 with the 5,000. They're also thinking about the stuff that they heard their fathers tell stories about. They also remember their history. They also remember that when they had no hope, that when they had nothing, that when they were hungry, when they were fleeing for their lives, when they were in the middle of a desert, God provided bread. And Jesus says, this bread is my body. Because when you got nothing, when you're lost, when you feel like you're at your wit's end, Jesus gets us through. The thing about manna was that you ate it and then you got hungry the next day. Jesus says, they ate the manna and they died. It never quite filled them up. But me, if you eat of me, you won't go hungry because I get you through and I am enough. Eat the bread because I am enough. Then Jesus says, here's the wine, it represents me. As good Jewish men, they wouldn't just remember the story of the manna, they would also remember the stories of the sacrifices. We've talked a little bit about this before, haven't we? That they used to sacrifice an awful lot of animals in the Old Testament in order to push back the judgment for another year. And so you've got a lot of blood happening in the Old Testament. They used to sacrifice a lot of things. I was reading Leviticus this week. And they're always sacrificing something like a cow or an ox or a dove. And the idea being that this blood represents that you get let off for another year. The trouble with this is that you have to keep doing it day after day after day. And Jesus says, this cup, this blood, this wine, It symbolises my blood. It symbolises the blood that speaks of a new covenant. You don't have to keep sacrificing anymore. My blood is enough. When Jesus takes the bread and the wine, the disciples think about what he'd told them before. Jesus had said, "This is the blood, this is the my body that you can feast off." They realised it was about his teachings. It was about taking Jesus into ourselves and being more like him. He said, "This is the bread and the wine. It symbolises me." Why? Because Jesus is there in the mundane and he's there in the special and the spectacular and the joyous. He says, "This is the bread because it symbolises my body," because it reminds them of the manna. When they had nothing, when they had no hope, God provided what they need. And Jesus said, "This is my blood." It represents a new covenant because we don't have to keep sacrificing anymore. His blood was enough. So my question to you this morning, and I know my talk today has been a little bit different to normal because I feel that the meal was something to be experienced rather than to be something to be understood. So I hope that something in there was helpful to you that you can take away and feast on and think about a little bit. But my question to you is, do you want to feed on it? Do you want to take this bread, this wine into yourself and become part of who you are? Will Jesus for you just be an idea that you think about? Or will it be a person that you allow to get under your skin? Will you allow Jesus to become part of who you are? Will you allow Jesus to feed you and change you and make you different? Because that's what meals do. I'm going to pray and then we're going to sing to finish. But during that last song, I'm going to invite you, if you would like, to come up and take a bit of bread and take a bit of wine. It's non-alcoholic, so help yourself. You don't have to. If you just want to respond where you are, that's fine. But if you want to take part in this, if you want to say yes to Jesus and this is going to be helpful to you, come up the front, take a bit of bread, take a bit of wine, and we'll do that during our last song. Let's pray. God, there's so much about the communion, the Last Supper, the Passover that makes so much sense. That you are the bread that feeds us. You are the wine that gives us joy. You are the one in the mundane and the boring. You are the one who's there in the spectacular and the wonderful. There's also so much of it that we don't understand, that we don't quite get. But we want your truth, Jesus, your life, your teachings, to be part of us. We want to take them on board, let them change us. We want you, Jesus, to make us more and more like you, to bring your kingdom on this earth. More of your love, more of your joy, more of your peace. Amen. So we ask that your presence and your love would become part of us and change us from the inside. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.